We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. The weather is very nice. It's a little breezy, but it's pretty nice. 70 degrees. Nathan Brewer dew point is 54. The winds are out of the south at 19 miles an hour and gusting up to, 25. There it come up. And then area temperatures real quick. Looks like Cheyenne, Oklahoma, you are the coolest spot in the state right now at 68, and it is warming up in the Panhandle at 78 at Goodwell and Lacey Swope's favorite place.
Hey!
Slap Out, Oklahoma is 71.
Slap Out America.
That's right. Slap Out. Altus is coming in at a whopping heat changing 72 degrees. So how are you today, Miss Swope?
I am great. How are you?
I'm in a really good humor today. I don't know why, but I'm in.
I
was just checking my deer pictures out on my cell cam right before I called you, so I was in a good mood.
Oh man, that always puts an extra pep in your step, doesn't it?
Yeah, my wife she informed me as I was talking to you earlier about that our dog was about out of raw deer meat and that I needed to get to cracking. So I got the blind set up Saturday afternoon, the camera and the feeder set up Sunday morning at 9:30, and at 10:05 the first deer made the run, so it didn't take long.
Wow.
Yeah, so been the dog late.
That's awesome.
And Zoe actually got to go out there and help me put all that up, and then I had to come back and pick stick tights out of her for an hour. So, yeah, it worked out great. But anyway, so how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. We went and checked our plots. We with the pumpkin patch, and then went up to our property in Creek County and checked on our wheat that we planted and oats and all that good stuff. And everything's coming up after the recent rain, so that was good. And my daughter got covered in stick tights. So
yeah, they're bad this year from all the moisture we had. And I'm not complaining, but if you had a 75-pound that 75-pound dog, she was starting to bite at me because I was getting them all out of there. But they
tender down.
Yeah, they. So you are a farmer. You got food plots in.
Well, we feed the animals, not people. So it works out.
Well, they, how's all that looking? How's Creek County?
Good, good. I'm telling you, before this recent rain, Creek County was way drier than we were in central and even parts of western Oklahoma.
Yes.
Everything was so brown. The trees were brown. A lot of the trees had lost their leaves already just from the drought. And so it turned around pretty quickly.
Yeah,
these rains
couldn't have been better. I don't know how much wheat ground's up in there between your house and up there, but out here, these farm fields are turning green in a hurry.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, even the grass around the city, you know, even just the grass was dying pretty, it was pretty much dead already, and it's come back, so...
Yeah, because I got to mow again. So,
yeah,
one more time. I know. I thought it was over with. Yeah, and all the leaves are still on the trees. I noticed yesterday I took the back way out to swath my hay down at Carter, and the Elk City Golf Course is as green as I've seen it all year. I mean, it's beautiful. So, you got any big ones spotted?
A couple of very, very, very nice deer, yes, that I would absolutely love to see in daylight. And some wild, crazy racks that I would be more than happy to take as well. So lots of does, that's good. Still a lot of, you know, single does with their yearlings.
Yep.
But, yeah, kind of a good mix is what we've seen so far.
So does it look like that they had a bumper crop of babies up there this year, or does it look pretty normal?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, to me, just from what I would see driving around, to me, it seemed like there were fawns everywhere. And everywhere.
I know Lieutenant Edwards, or no, let me back up. Lieutenant James, I know he's listening. Did you hear that? She's road hunting.
Road hunting?
Yeah.
I am looking for deer every time I'm in this truck. It does not matter where I'm going. And it's funny because my two-year-old does it now. It's hilarious, actually.
No, that's cool. That's good that you're doing that. And the youth weekend from social media, oh, my God, it was good. It looked good.
Unreal. And normally I am posting people's pictures, and I love to share that on social media. I have gotten overwhelmed because I worked insane hours last week and then had the weekend to try to get things done in life. And I haven't had a chance to go back through. So if you've sent me pictures or you've sent me video, I'm trying to get to them to at least respond, if not share. But it's so incredible to see. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks posting pictures of their kids.
Yeah, especially the five-month-old ones, right?
The five-month-old. Oh, you got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
So proud of my one-year-old.
Yeah, you should have seen the shot he put on this big buck and that dad.
Oh, my God.
And the dad back here in the picture with a smirk.
Uh-huh.
Yep. But they, uh-huh. Well, there's, well, I know Kelly, you know, Ruger's mom, she's going to be sending you pictures from Ruger's Guide Service this weekend out there on Willow Ridge Ranch.
Well, I'll be looking.
Yeah, because those two, or all three of them did, those Carter boys, that's her nephews, that's her twin sister Kim's boys, they killed some, or let me say, they got
really?
some big boys. And,
okay.
And Ruger was in the picture with his little smile, like, yeah, I know, but you guys, you don't know what's coming next. Because he set the standard really high last week, or last year. I mean, with that big boy he got, my gosh. But anyway, but no, it was good. I'm glad to see all that coming out, because all those pictures being posted, because it shows that and I know it was fall break and the kids were out of school anyway, but still, it means we're getting, we have future hunters in the making.
Absolutely. And once they get there, for even just going from their first hunt, I think they're hooked. But especially getting to go out and, you know, see deer, see movement, there's no way they're not going to want to go again.
No, there's no way in all, but they, well, if you guys are just joining me, Lacey's got a major appointment here in about 15 minutes, but
I'm getting my hair done, Jimmy.
I know, I figured that, I couldn't think of anything when you told me I got to be done by 12:30. I know you don't care about your lunch, and if it was your nap, yes. I know you're not going to sleep right at 12:30, so I figured it was a hair appointment.
Okay, listen, my hair lady is booked up through Christmas, whoa, and I've already had to reschedule with her because of my schedule and severe weather, and so when she can get me in, I don't care when it is, I have to be there. I have to be there.
Even in the middle of a show?
Like, I will make it work. Hey, you know what? I would. I'm telling you, she's that good, and she's in that high demand, where it's just, my life revolves around her.
Oh, yeah, you're not telling me nothing new. So I have a wife, remember? And so, last week, you guys, the only fault I seen in last week at all was you was about 5 miles off. You know, you said it
five
was
miles.
When you was on the show Tuesday, you said, you know, it's going to go out towards Kiowa County and up through there. Well, it started where you said, but it kind of turned north and headed towards Beckham County and Washtenaw County. And you guys did an amazing job. I watched you live on.
I just have to say, thank you. You were right ahead. I'm not going to interrupt that. Keep going.
Oh, no. I was. Of course, out here in the country, when the clouds are over, doesn't matter whether you got DirecTV or Dish or whatever, you lose signal. But if you got a phone, you can watch Channel 9 and Dave Payne. I never got to see you, but I heard you in the background, and then all your chasers, you guys were getting after it, and I watched you live on Facebook.
Ooh, thank you for watching.
Yeah, so
very kind of you.
Yeah.
It was wild. It was crazy. The latest tornado count is 28 from last week, and that makes the most tornadoes on record for the month of October. Now, our records only go back to the 1950s, which is barely anything, but still, it is a record for the most tornadoes. So it was absolutely wild. But what I was laughing at a while ago is you said Ouachita County.
Yeah,
and that just cracks me up.
You was
it's
making
wonderful.
Fun. You was making fun of my digging last week too.
When I said Doug. Yeah.
The peanuts are Doug.
I got them peanuts, Doug.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey.
It was just funny to me. I mean, now I feel like I try to pronounce things the way locals pronounce it, but Ouachita is a new one to me.
What do you want me to say, Wichita? the one shot that you guys showed that really caught my attention was, and I don't remember which storm chaser it was, you had three or four on that storm, and the one that when he was on 152 down there in some of my territory that I know real well, and it was west of Burns Flat, and then all of a sudden David caught it on the screen. He said, "The dirt's kicking up," you know, and it was coming toward.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. I mean, I'm glad it didn't land right there. I got some family there and some friends that lived right there and right there where it was at. But man, when that dirt kicked up and it was going the opposite direction of the storm, I was like,
Yeah, that's the same storm. So that storm went and produced an ES2 near Anadarko. It was the same storm. So it was kind of lifting north, and all of a sudden it took a hard right. It dropped like four or five tornadoes before it got to Anadarko. They were all just real small, real weak, thankfully. But then it did drop an ES2 near Anadarko, and that's winds over 111 miles an hour. So it was a very, very hefty storm.
Okay, question for you. You said last week on the show it was going to start down there in the southwest corner by Vernon, Altus, and you hit that right on the point. But I thought what was unusual was it was just a small storm and packing a big punch, but it just had – I don't think it really expanded into a bigger storm until it got up in Custer County or something. But is that unusual for just a little bitty cloud by itself, not a line of storms like happened about 4 or 5 hours later? Is that unusual for one little cloud just to be that mean going up by itself?
No, that's exactly what we watch for. I mean, we always say that a storm by itself is a dangerous storm. I mean, if it's by itself, it has no competition. So the inflow into it, and on a day like that where the instability is through the roof, you know that if we can even start to see on satellite, before anything's on radar, before there's any precip in it, if we can start to see cloud tops getting tall, we know right then and there to swarm it with our chasers, because it's going to explode rapidly. Once you can get any type of convection to show up, that thing's going to go. And it went up cyclonically sheared, so it went up rotating, and we knew, man, this thing is going to be a beast. If we're talking about, they started in southwest Oklahoma Sunday and on Tuesday. Tuesday, that storm kept going. It went all the way up and produced a tornado in Clinton.
Right.
That storm was on the ground. That storm was producing severe weather for like 150 miles.
Oh, at least. I went to bed after it was up in the Thomas, Custer City area. I went to bed.
Yeah, but it fell apart.
But it just amazed me that little cloud was doing all that, because it wasn't big. We got at our house, you know where we live. We're right on the west side of the river, and I sent you that video where you could hear the sirens going off in Carter, and you could see the backside of that storm. But what you didn't see, what you knew it was happening, was that cloud was just going straight up. I mean, it was
unique.
And our yard got covered in like pea to nickel size hail, and we were just right on the west edge of it, but it didn't do any damage. And I already had golf balls planted out there in the front yard and so if they would have been some like quarter size, I was going to send you that picture, golf ball size hail, and then I got to look and one of the golf balls was yellow, so that wouldn't have went over very good.
Oh my gosh, it would not be the first time that has happened multiple times, actually. My favorite is when people take a handful of ice out of the freezer and send me a picture of that, and they're like, I got the weirdest shaped tail. Thank you.
Lieutenant James just texted in with a LOL, but he also wants your tag number and color of your truck. So can you watch it?
Exactly. So, give him my license number.
Yeah, because I'm going to get her a spotlight for Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. I already got one of them, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. See there, James? I hooked her. See, Lieutenant James is teaching me tricks on catching poachers. And see,
how to talk and get them to say something wrong. Yeah, listen, we go frog gigging, and so I have a good spotlight for that.
Oh, yeah, that's legal. A good comeback. Totally that's a great comeback. It's a good comeback. If you guys are just joining, Miss Lacey Swope, Channel 9 meteorologist from Oklahoma City, she's joining us as she does every Tuesday, unless she's on vacation, hunting, or sick, or needing to go get her hair done. But
oh my god, good,
it's something like that. But man, I tell you what, you guys did. You did a Lieutenant James wants to know how many prongs are on your gig. You better answer this correctly.
Well, I should say by a gig, I mean, it's just a poll that we've made. It's legal. I've checked the license, or what's it called? The regulations.
Yeah.
We're totally legal.
There you go, and Lieutenant James. She's sidetracking, but
I'm by the book.
She at least she didn't come back like the White House press secretary and go, we'll circle back around to that. So...
You can't ever go wrong by saying that.
She never does.
Move on.
Anyway, so what's our weather look like coming up?
Well, today, obviously, the wind is a cold front tonight. So we've got a south wind now, north wind tomorrow. And, I mean, there may be some cloud cover and very light drizzle in the morning, but I don't think it'll be much, and it would be brief, if at all. We just try to get a little convergence right along the cold front. After that, we're going to watch for Friday. Friday is kind of an interesting day. We have a warm front coming in, and western portions of the state into the Texas panhandle will be very unstable once again. And the mid-level, upper-level dynamics aren't great, but they're enough that we might have a stronger storm or two. So actually might have the severe potential on Friday. Into the weekend, there's some isolated chances, but really for the weekend, you're just going to notice how hot it is. Upper 80s, we may have some 90s out west. It's opening weekend of muzzleloader, and it's one of those opening weekends where it's just going to be hot and windy.
Not the best of news. Yeah,
I
seen you said that. Not the best, but you know, some of the biggest deer that I've seen killed in Kansas and Oklahoma with a muzzleloader happened on a very hot day. And so the
why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't have an answer.
That they're going to water or something?
Well, it's possible, or they're just moving around. It's too hot to lay around. I don't know that one. That when I lived in Kansas City, there was one killed there, one shot there on Hillsdale Lake, south of Overland Park there. They was shot there, and it scored. It ended up being it still is the state record for Kansas.
Really?
For the
on
muzzle.
A hot day.
This was in September, because you know their muzzleloader season's way early. But it's still it was still hot, and he ended up selling that to Bass Pro Shops, and he got to keep a replica, and he got all the blah 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 from it. But I think he sold it to Bass Pro for $100,000. And this was a deer that scored well. It was a non-typical, I don't remember exactly, 220-something, 230-something. It was a monster. And it monstered. Well, I have somebody text in. I listened to the whole tornado night with the storm chases. Totally amazing, and God bless them. That was a text that just come in.
Well, that is so sweet, and it's so kind, because what you don't realize is those trackers, they're driving in blinding rain. At times, they can't even see the hood of their truck due to the wind, you know, and they're out there. Our storm trackers, they were out for 20 hours a day. I mean, and go strong, driving it literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles, and then to get up and do it again. It was a beat down of a week, but we wouldn't be able to bring the warning without them to physically see it, because you're chasing by, power flashes and lightning strikes. So that's very kind.
Well, yeah, and then also the storm trackers, when they start showing up out here, nobody's paying attention to the weather except maybe the farmers, and they got something going on. They got to get done before it gets rained on or the wind gets up. But when you see the storm trackers pull into western Oklahoma, whether it's Hobart, Elk City, Cheyenne, Woodward, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Everybody just goes, uh-oh. So
Yeah, it's funny. We get pictures in a lot of people that are like, "Hey, we just spotted Val on, you know, 83."
Hey, I know I just got a minute or two, but here's a good one. I just got a text in. Our local fire chief, he's a volunteer fire chief from Carter. His name's Chad Ripito, and that happens to be Ruger's uncle, okay? So so you put the connections together there. Anyways, he wants me to ask you your thoughts on freelance storm chasers.
Like for the station, I'm assuming? Is that a thing?
No.
Is that what he's asking?
The guys that are out giving guides and just doing stuff to put on YouTube.
Oh, people that are out?
Yeah.
Hey, it's America. Honestly, my personal take on it is, sometimes it can get really dangerous because they clutter up the roads and they make it very difficult for our storm chasers.
Yeah.
I don't know what their knowledge is. I don't know their background. If they're out there and don't know what they're doing, they have no business out there whatsoever, because as we saw in 2013, it can be deadly very quickly. As far as for storm chasers, if they're too close or don't know what direction the storm's going and they're not paying close enough attention, because they can wiggle and wobble and go backwards of what you're thinking. So, but if they know what they're doing and they're out there, I mean, I storm chased in college. I was an amateur storm chaser. The atmosphere is amazing, and we get stuff in Oklahoma you can't see anywhere else. So, I mean, I'm never going to say, oh, no one should go out there except the, you know, the big time, full time professionals, just because, I mean, we don't control the atmosphere. We just forecast it. So I think it's amazing. As long as they're being staying a safe distance away and not in the way for our storm trackers. That's my personal take on it.
Well, when he texted me, the reason why I giggled that, because we're going to, when was the Elk City tornado? 18, 15, 16? The one that wiped out a lot of things around here. Well, he was
on the south side of town?
Yes. I think it was 5 years ago or 6 years. Anyway.
I think it was 17.
Yeah, so the 5-year anniversary is coming up next year. And we're going to get him T-shirts made, and I'm going to send you the video that the storm chaser posted on social media before it got taken down. But you'll have to read his lip language. And there was a power line down on 152 down here, not too far from where you guys were the other day. And
right.
They were blocking the road to keep people from going down it, from driving over those power lines, because that tornado just went through there. And then the storm chaser went around him. wrong thing that day. You can watch the
video. It wasn't one of ours, was it?
No. It was, his name was Tony. I think it was Tony.
I don't know,
LeBach or something like that. He was working for a weather station out of up north somewhere. But anyway, but no, it was funny. So it wasn't funny at the time, but later,
sure.
So we give him crap about it. But anyway, he's the one that texted in the question. And one last thing, Lieutenant James says spotlight equals trouble light. It can get you in trouble, or rarely it can get you out of trouble. So.
Listen, I travel by myself. I'm a female. It's important that I can see. No, I mean, honest to God, I don't have a spotlight in my truck, and I never have. But if I am going somewhere where it's necessary, we do a lot of overnight fishing. I will tell you, the one time I have traveled with spotlight, not that it's illegal to travel with a spotlight, but whenever I have been, we do a lot of catfishing, and we use, especially in August, we'll put grasshoppers on a cane pole, and we go out and run those cane poles, and you have to have a spotlight for that in order when you're on the lake. And so that's my number one honest to God use for the spotlight.
You're just digging yourself.
So don't start getting me in trouble.
You're starting to dig yourself into a deeper hole, because using artificial light for fishing is not good either.
It's not fishing. It's not using it for fishing. It's to get around the lake at night.
So I'm just giving you crap. Yeah. But anyway, but
hey, God, you're just trying to get me a ticket.
anyway, good luck with your hair appointment.
Oh, thank you. You better watch tomorrow and tell me how great it looks.
Oh, I will. And thank you so much for being on today.
No problem.
See you later.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
She's not coming on next Tuesday, I can tell. Anyway, we'll be right back. I got some hay. It's Hay Day Tuesday. I got some hay reports, and I got some cattle reports from Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction yesterday. Got all kinds of things coming up. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. On Facebook, follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2, and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yep, I'm back. I haven't got a text from her, but she probably just canceled her contract with me because I was trying to get her in trouble with the game warden. She doesn't know, we got contacts out here. Well, wheat futures rose in overnight trading. First, cash prices in Oklahoma right now is wheat's at $7.09 a bushel. Milo's at $5.29 a bushel. Corn is at $5.26 a bushel. And soybeans is $11.64 a bushel. It's starting to make a comeback. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading amid declining exports from Russia and low global inventories. Russian wheat shipments from the start of 2021 and 22 marketing year on July 1st through October 14th dropped 13% to 13.6 million metric tons. S&P Global reported, citing the Russian Federal Service for Veterinarian Surveillance. Turkey, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia were the largest importers of Russian wheat. The firm has reduced its outlook for the Russian wheat exports to 36.5 million metric tons from a prior outlook of 38.6 million tons. So that's 2 million tons difference. The United States Department of Agriculture last week forecast shipments from the country at 35 million metric tons. Global stockpiles of the grain are expected to fall to 277.2 million metric tons in the current marketing year. The USDA said in its monthly world agriculture supply and demand estimates, it realized this would be down from 288.4 million tons in storage at the end of 2021 marketing year and the lowest level in 5 years, government data showed. Soybeans and corn were higher overnight on signs of strong demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters reported sales to overseas buyers 4 days last week, including transactions of 396,000 and 326,750 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to unnamed countries and 132,000 tons from U.S. inventories to China on Friday. Still, prices are being capped as the harvest moves on. Some 60% of the U.S. soybeans were harvested as of Sunday, up from 49% a week earlier and ahead of the prior five-year average of 55%. So everything's looking pretty good. Our peanut guys are digging. I know some of them finished up yesterday and some more digging today. Hadn't heard anybody else got some more to dig, but everything's looking good and should be done with peanut harvest around here in the next few weeks pretty good. So it looks like our weather is going to be cooperating pretty good. Some 60% of the U.S. soybeans were harvested as of Sunday. And so that was looking pretty good for the soybeans. Growers have collected 52% of the corn crop at the start of the week, up from 41% with a week average and 41% of this time last year. Winter wheat planting also continue with 70% of the wheat in the ground, up from 60% a week earlier, but behind the prior average of 71%, the USDA reported on its crops. Wheat futures for December delivery added 8 cents to 744 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures rose 7 cents to $7.56 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery were up 6.5 cents to $12.35 a bushel. Soy meal gained $2.90 to $320.80 a short ton, while soy oil added 0.03 to $62.05 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery rose 1.5 cents to $5.34 and a quarter bushel. Well, when I get back, I got some hay reports because it is Hay Day Tuesday. Anybody got anything they want to announce? Well, they got a bull sale coming up or they got hay for sale, anything like that, you can shoot me a text at the KCO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. And we'll get that on the air before the end of the hour. If not, I'll write it down and try to get it on tomorrow, because once my show's over, that text line blows up from Drew Kopp's famous Backroads Country Show here on the weekend, or on this weekend afternoon, and we'll go from there. So I'll be right back. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 18th. 1,167 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 448 brought 176.50. 3 at 667 brought 147.60. At 720 brought 155. 8 at 790 brought 154. 4 at 1106 brought 120. 3 head of heifers at 412 brought 171. 14 at 621 brought 127. 54 at 686 brought 148.50. 3 at 703 brought 129.50. 16 at 714 brought 125. Butcher cows were 18. to 64. Bred cows, 500 to 985. Butcher bulls brought 42 to 93. Pairs were 1150 to 1210. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40 exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back, and current temperatures is 72 degrees. Winds are picked up a little bit. It's out of the south at 21 miles an hour with gusts up to 26 miles an hour. I'm going to say some of my hay I cut down yesterday that had a little bit of grass in it it's getting blown around a little bit. It's down there in the bottom. Shouldn't hurt it too bad. My last field of hay. And then I went over to my alfalfa field where the grasshoppers have been eating on the edges for the last 5 years, 6 years, because I'm done with the alfalfa. I'm sowing it to wheat. I went and sowed a couple months ago some millet and high gear around the edge so it wouldn't blow because it's pretty sandy in there. And I went over there. I thought, well, I'll swath that down and clean it up a little bit. Made one round, come back around for round two. My left-hand wobble box on my John Deere went out, and I shut that operation down, swathing operation down for the rest of the year till next season. Them wobble boxes aren't cheap, and even if you find a good used one. So anyway, that's the way to end the year on swathing. But we got Bill Dance, I know you're listening out there. I'm getting your texts, but I'm not repeating them. Well, anyway, the White House press secretary, you know, the lady that likes to circle back around to that question, again has blamed meat packers for food inflation at the U.S. consumer prices hit a 13-year high. Well, I don't know. Anyway, she's not cool in my books, but I just want to I had a text yesterday, a question about people asking me why I talk so much about corn, soybeans, and the wheat prices and stuff, because it affects us. No matter whether we grow soybeans or corn out here, and we do have a lot of corn in our area, especially down in Kiowa County and Jackson and Greer County, there's a lot of corn in that area, and there's actually starting to be more and more patches of corn in Beckham County, and I think the Custer County, if I was reading the USDA report, they got a couple thousand acres of corn over in that area. So we grow corn around here, not like Iowa or Kansas or Nebraska, but everybody's curious because it affects feed prices, it affects cattle prices, all those things, it affects our cost. Well, last night I was sliding through the social media, and a friend of mine from Hobart down there, Mr. Daryl Hoover, he posted a picture from Twitter that looks like, here's the way it goes. He said, this guy, Josh Linville, he says, I've updated the fertilizer corn ratio charts. 12 months ago, this has got to do with inflation and the cost of everything going on. 12 months ago, it cost 55 bushels of corn for 1 ton of urea. Same ton today cost 135 bushels. Well, the UNA, 30 bushels a year ago, and this is liquid fertilizer, 30 bushels a year ago versus 97 today. On the DAP, the DAP, 90 bushels a year ago is versus 130 bushels it cost for that per ton today. Potash, 50 bushels of corn a year ago, cost you 130 bushels of corn today. That's how much prices have increased. And they got the drought going on up north and out to the west. There's all kinds of things going on that farmers and ranchers really need to watch. Fuel prices, chemical prices. It's retarded what's going on today with just the inflation going on. But for her to emphasize that the meat packers are causing the inflation on food prices is crazy. So I got this list for you. Here's how, this is where Americans are seeing inflation in the last 7 months. Rental cars are up 43% from last September. Gas is up 42% from last September. Used cars are up 24% from last September. Bacon is up 19%. Hotels are up 18%. Beef comes in at 18%, up from last September. Pork is up 13%. I'm guessing bacon's just up because starting in California here in February, I think that there's not going to be bacon in California from the new laws that they got, making sure that every sow has a master bedroom to raise pigs in. So if you hadn't read into that, you ought to check out California pork laws out. It's pretty cool. It's not cool, but it's funny. I can't believe they make laws like that. Eggs are up 13%. TVs are up 13%. Kids' shoes are up 12%. Blah, blah, blah. New cars are up 9%. Chickens up 8%. Apples are up 8%. Electricity's up 5%. Rent is up 3%. So to accuse beef packers that they're causing the food inflation's just crazy. Well, the combination of drought impacts and high crop prices mean that beef cattle producers face significantly higher feed costs this winter. Increased feed costs have been impacting feedlots for several months, and the impacts will grow as cow-calf and stocker background producers face additional feed and supplement costs this winter. Prices are higher for both alfalfa and other hay across most of the country, with the biggest increases in drought areas, but impacting other regions as well. The USDA reported national average alfalfa hay prices are up 20% over the last year in the latest agriculture prices report from August. The national average August price for other hay was up 13.4% compared to last year. Markets for hay vary around the country. Alfalfa hay is always important for the dairy industry, but use of alfalfa in the beef industry depends on the region. Some states produce higher proportions of alfalfa, some more other hay than with grass hay. Some states produce a balance of alfalfa and other hay. Generally, alfalfa hay production is more important for both dairy and beef production in the northern tier states, while in the southern regions, the beef industry relies more on other hay, with alfalfa hay mostly directed to the dairy industry. So I got a chart here. Here we go. I looked this up for you guys. You know how I am with numbers. So the USDA made no adjustments to alfalfa acres from any state from August to October. These will be made in the January summary report. It did drop the U.S. yield of dry alfalfa hay across acres by 0.02 tons per acre, which lowered the total production by 343,000 tons this year. That's less than 1%. Drilling down some of the major alfalfa hay-producing states with a significant change in yield production from August was Arizona, up 0.4%, up to 9 tons per acre. California, down to 6.5 tons per acre. Colorado, up 0.5, which is 4.5 tons per acre. Oklahoma down 0.6, down 3 tons per acre. And Washington up 7.7, up to 4.3 tons per acre. Well, here's how much hay I'm going to take. You guys, does anybody know? Text it in if you know it. Well, I'm going to say it anyway. Montana is actually the biggest state, or the state with the most alfalfa grown in the United States. I'd have lost money on that. I didn't know that. I never paid no attention to it. But they actually got 1.9 million acres of alfalfa. And that's a lot of alfalfa. Texas actually has, where is it at? I can't believe that. Texas doesn't have a whole lot of alfalfa, but it's showing here that they've got 110,000 acres of alfalfa. Oklahoma has 190,000 acres of alfalfa, And Kansas has a whopping 540,000 acres of alfalfa. Yield per acre is Kansas is 3.7 tons per acre. Montana is only 2.2 tons. Maybe that's why they have so many acres. They don't know how to grow it up there. Oklahoma yield is 3.6 tons per acre. And Texas is 4.9 tons per acre. The production per 1,000 tons, the whole state of Oklahoma produces 6.84 million tons of alfalfa per year. Well, when you get over here to other hay, mainly grass hay, Oklahoma didn't stay pretty steady on their hay, but Oklahoma produces, has 2.6 million acres of grass hay that is produced for hay. Its average yield is 1.8 tons per acre. Unless you're Bandy Silk, that goes up to about 9 tons per acre. And then we got total production, 4,680,000 pounds of hay that's reported to the USDA of production with grass hay. Well, I got one more break. I need to come back. When we come back, I'm going to give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, give you the update from Elk City Livestock Auction and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. So hang tough with me, and we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. Got to check a few texts while I was during the break, and it looks like Mr. Brian Silk, a.k.a. Bill Dance, is over there thrashing peanuts. Good luck with that. And I'm sure his beautiful wife, Sandra, she's sitting out there on the road in the truck watching him run some really good equipment out there. I think it's kind of blue, but it's made by a certain company that he knows what we're talking about. So good luck with that. I bet she's just listening to Kenny Chesney, too. And so we'll see how that works out for him. They got the forecast is pretty good. 80 degrees for a high today. The winds are, it's currently 73. Winds are south, 21 miles an hour, gusting up to 27. She is windy out there. 80 for a high today, 75 for a high tomorrow with north winds 13 to 20 miles an hour. Thursday, mostly sunny, 73 degrees. Tomorrow night's low will be around 45. I don't think we'll have to worry about any frost or anything, hopefully. And Thursday night, we have a 30% chance of rain. That must have been the one Lacey's talking about that might be coming in Thursday or Friday. But, man, after that, it warms up nicely. We're talking 79 Friday, 84, close to 90 degrees on Saturday. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden update. And let me get to this deals from yesterday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Brandon said that Elk City butcher cows and bulls are steady, were off a little bit at Elk City, but they come back up and they were steady yesterday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. So at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, we had 17 steers from Elk City. Average weight was 491, bringing $164.75 per hundred weight. Memphis, we had 31 head of steers, 712 on their weight, 141.25 per hundred weight. And then we had 60 out of Cheyenne. Average weight was 720, $1.55. And one more on the steers. Carter had 13 head. Average weight was 800, 139.75. There's a little misprint there. And on the heifers, we had some heifers out of Thomas at Clinton yesterday. Was 512 on weight, $1.44. Then we had Carnegie, 25 head of heifers, 674 on the weight. Average weight, $1.48. And we got 54 out of Thomas at 686 on the weight, $1.48.9. Bulls, butcher bulls were bringing up to 93, butcher cows up to $64. Bred cows sold there for 985. Pairs were bringing up to 1210 there. Elk City Livestock Auction last Friday, there was some Durham. On the steers, they brought in 228 head with average weight of 523, brought $1.72.50. Pretty good. Wheeler, 20 head out of there, average weight 594, $1.53.50. And then we had some out of Wellington, Texas, 656 on the steers on the average weight, $1.45. Over here, from the heifers, we had some out of Canute that average weight was 349, brought $1.49. And then from Eric, we had 10 head. I'm sorry, Elk City, we had 10 head, 450 on the average weight, brought $1.48.50. Wham, look at this, 191 head out of Durham, 473 on the weight on the heifers, brought $1.67. That's really good. Briscoe, Texas, they had 25 head, 635 on the average weight, $1.30.50. And then we had out of Briscoe again. Nope, McLean, 733, brought $1.31. Bred cows were bringing up to 1225, pairs 1460 per pair. Butcher cows were at 65. And butcher bulls were $87 per hundred weight. So that's from coming from the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and Elk City Livestock Auction. Tomorrow at Hobart, we got Hobart Stockyards. They're having their sale tomorrow. If you got anything you need to take to the sale barn right now, give Mr. Rex Fleming a call for your buying and selling needs. And then Elk City will be coming back in here Friday to have their sale. And next Monday, again, we'll have the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Well, we got the cash cattle trade looked to be a repeat of the last several weeks. On Wednesday, packers in the South were back out bidding $124, with many feeders taking the price and getting show lists cleaned up. By the end of the week, some packers were up to $124.50. It was not a huge increase, but it is a sign that the number of front-end cattle available is becoming shorter. The North also seen a steady to higher trade. Dress cattle were mostly steady at 196, with cash cattle trading from 124 to 126. Feeders in the North are also beginning to see some shorting of numbers on their show list. This week should see packers having to push harder to find front-end cattle to fill their needs. Feeders have already seen packers begin to shift what they are willing to buy to try to fill their needs. Cattle feeders may finally be in the situation where they're not seen as quite, that they've not seen in quite some time as we begin the trade later on this week. Well, out of Stillwater, a little tip of the week for you guys. With colder weather just around the corner, many farmers and ranchers are preparing to store machinery for the winter. Rodents will be eyeing the same machinery for another reason as a cozy place to shelter for a few months. So tomorrow, last part of the show, I'm going to give you guys some tips to keep rodents out of your machinery, vehicles, the whole nine yards. I know everybody's heard them all, but I got a new one that I discovered this summer, so I'm going to save it for last for tomorrow. So you got to be listening if you want to hear it. Well, you guys have a great day, and God bless. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From Shamrock, Texas to Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today's best country.
This is my country.
KECO, Elk City.
The goal is progress, Lisa Brady, Fox News. That from White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki, sounding an optimistic note as the president meets first with progressives, then moderate Democrats later today, still trying to bridge the gap on his social spending, climate, and tax hike plan.
There's broad agreement, actually, about the vast majority of issues here. So the president's basing this approach on five decades of Washington, which is a pretty good guide for how to get things done.
The disagreements on that package are holding up a vote on an infrastructure plan that has some bipartisan support. The justice minister in Haiti says the gang that kidnapped 17 missionaries is demanding $1 million per person before releasing them.
Haiti's justice minister told the Wall Street Journal they are in touch with the gang. Among the missionaries are five children, including an eight-month-old baby. All are believed to be American except for one Canadian. They're with Christian Aid Ministries out of Ohio. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Monday,
the FBI is part of a coordinated U.S. government effort to get the U.S. citizens involved to safety. Due to operational considerations, we're not going to go into too much detail.
The gang, known as 400 Maozo, has increasingly turned to kidnappings in an effort to make money. This week, a national transportation union went on strike in Haiti over what they say is a lack of security in the country. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
And Psaki moments ago, again declining to go into much detail.